back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively still in Dallas, Texas, making our way back home. We will be on Friday at Drug City at the Fountain upstairs at the Tasting Room. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with our friends at Window Nation, 866-90-NATION, the way to reach them, as well as our newest sponsor, Jiffy Lube MultiCare. The season has come to a halt. We will be picking up Ravens season on Sunday morning at the Hollywood Casino up in Perryville. We'll be up there nice and early at 8 in the morning. Come on up. $30 brunch. You can come. You don't have to buy the brunch, but if you buy the brunch, you get involved in a whole bunch of games where you can win $500 as well as a whole bunch of other prizes. There's a wing eating competition as well. It's at the Hollywood Casino in Perryville. The day that begins my 56th year on the planet. My birthday is Saturday, and what a thud this was for my birthday. You know, my birthday always falls in the middle of the baseball playoffs. Now they're playing World Series games in November. But it was October the 16th, 1983, the last time the Orioles won the World Series. We were hoping for a better outcome for all of you holding ALCS tickets and calendars and all of that. Certainly, Luke and I have put our lives on hold to go do this. We were in Arlington at the end, and I guess the end really was the beginning when Dean Kramer took the ball. Luke, I'll let you bring you in here, and you know, you and I have talked at length in being roommates together on the road in Arlington, Texas, but they just weren't good enough. Like, I mean, we're going to sit here for hours and talk about it. We're going to talk about it for months. What happened, how they're a one seed, how disappointing this is for all the young players. You were in the locker room after the game in Arlington on Tuesday night. Just some thoughts about wrapping this thing up, because it is a sad goodbye for this team. This is the best team of your lifetime and certainly this generation.
No question about it. And I mean, we've talked about this so many times over the years with the Ravens, because they've been in the playoffs far more frequently than the Orioles have since the Ravens arrived in 1996. And we talk about how quickly it ends. Baseball is not that quick, although certainly the Orioles have been involved in the wild card game on two different occasions, the happy ending in Arlington in 2012. And we know what happened in Toronto in 16, but you made mention of your birthday. I think a week ago, you and I would have said, well, they'll at least be playing for your birthday. They'll still be playing by then. And it ends so quickly. And you just stole the words right out of my mouth. We'll talk about this a lot. We'll continue to talk about this. We'll be talking about this all off season. We'll be talking about this next season because everything will be about getting back to this stage, as we've talked about with the Ravens on so many years, so many occasions, talking about January defining their legacy. But it was very simple. In game one, they didn't hit. In game two, they didn't pitch. And in game three, they did neither. So you do that in a best of five, yeah, you're going to go home, because you're not facing a bad team in the postseason. This is a Texas Rangers team that was really, really good at different times over the course of the season. I think I even said to you before the season started, I thought at a few different points they might even be the best team in the American League. Certainly the best offense in the American League. So you give them credit. But at the same time, and Brandon Hyde acknowledged this, a number of players acknowledged this. I mean, Austin Hayes flat out said, hey, it's not a whole lot to say. We got our butts kicked, you know, and for whatever reason, you know, we just weren't good enough. So from that standpoint, you hope it motivates a young club that will mostly be intact starting in spring training in February. And we'll see what happens in terms of trades or signings or anything like that. Well, plenty of time to talk about that, but it's, you know, it's a cold business, and you can win 101 games, but if you don't play well, even for a 72-hour period, you're going home. And that's what the Orioles are experiencing right now. And I think it's just, it's as simple as that. Again, you lose 3-2, you didn't hit. You lose 11-8, you didn't pitch. And if you lose 7-1, you didn't either. And that resulted in a very quick exit for the Baltimore Orioles, even after a 101 win season.
I think it doesn't take Jim Palmer to realize that, like, you need more pitching, right? Yeah. And the season began, and I was credentialed on Tuesday night. I actually sat in a couple of press conferences in a media room, but I saw Brandon Hyde twice on Tuesday, which is twice more than I have in my whole life, my whole career, literally my whole life. I've never been in a room with him. And I got to ask a question at the end, but for me, with seeing what they started the season with pitching wise, what they ended the regular season pitching wise, what they began the playoffs, no means, right? So no Fuji, these things that these guys, they took a chance of Flaherty, who pitched 5 minutes in a whitewashing, which was bound to be his role in the postseason, given how he pitched in August and September. I'll go back to you, and like, dare I say, as we sit here together in Arlington, Texas, after this disappointing 101 win season, where they sort of went wire to wire as a pretty good baseball team. I mean, Tampa's beginning didn't allow them. I mean, Tampa built a 4 month a cushion that they probably didn't deserve in the end. They were way over their heads in April, and really weren't much after that. And then they kicked the ball. I mean, Toronto kicked the ball around last week in a series as well. That you say, well, you kick the ball around, you lose, right? Well, with the Orioles, this wasn't about a bang bang play at first base. It wasn't about a crappy home plate umpire squeezing the zone, or this was a complete organizational failure in October, based on young players, a manager who was outmanaged to some degree because Bochy just had the savvy about pitching, and him not having the pitching, and not having the pitching out on the West Coast 4 weeks ago, not having the pitching as they broke Sarasota, in your mind, saying, this is the Luke Jones quote, they could have done more, they should have done more. And Eovaldi was one of the guys. I can go get the tapes on you back in February, March, like, hey, they could have had a guy like Eovaldi, right? And his name will be ringing in my ears from the 50,000 people in Arlington on Tuesday night chanting his name at the end of the game. That's a dude out right out there, right? That's a dude on a Tuesday night to come out, take the ball, and end this thing, get everybody rest. They're going to be lined up for whatever Houston probably has for them. That is going to be an ugly, they don't like each other, but Eovaldi, the Rangers got him. The Orioles didn't. And that's on top of the money spent on Seager, the money wasted on, take your pick, Odorizzi, DeGrom, Scherzer, down the, they didn't need any of those guys. And that's the worst part, because if the Orioles would have come into this thing, and let's say Texas won 103 and it was flipped around, and you had to see Scherzer, DeGrom, and Odorizzi, you had to really see those guys, you wouldn't have seen Eovaldi.
Yeah, well, I think you still would have seen Eovaldi because clearly they prioritized signing him, but he certainly wouldn't have been viewed as in the same way. They wouldn't have. They probably don't go out and get Jordan Montgomery, who was
Stuck the
obviously
bats up their
pivotal.
backside.
I mean, it's not as though he pitched great against the Orioles, but he certainly pitched really well against Tampa Bay, and he was there. Those two guys were their guys. So, I mean, look, Eovaldi had a really good start to the season, and then he missed 2 months. So you never know how that's going to impact any team. I mean, the Rangers were able to endure that to some degree, although certainly they lost the division in the final
Well,
weekend.
hey, dude,
So,
we thought John Means was going to be starting Tuesday night when we sat here in Baltimore last week, right?
And let's not, I don't want to make too much of John Means, but we knew how tenuous all of this looked. From a rotation standpoint, and I'm still not going to sit here and try to diminish what Kyle Bradish did as one of the best pitchers in the American League, what Grayson Rodriguez did as one of the better pitchers in the AL for the second half of the season. The numbers don't lie. Go back and look where they
Well, they
ranked
wouldn't have won
among
101 games without those kinds
exactly.
of efforts.
So
And those were things that were unpredictable in March.
sure. So when in March when I said, yeah, they could have done more, they should have done more. I would have loved to have seen them go out and get a Nathan Eovaldi, and you see what he did. And something that really resonated with me, Nestor, and full disclosure, you were in the interview room listening to Brandon Hyde. I went immediately to the clubhouse to get as much reaction as possible. And you can check out all of that at BaltimorePositive.com. But something really resonated when Hyde was taught what is asked about Nathan Eovaldi, and he used the term, what, playoff pitcher, October pitcher. And he just said it matter-of-factly. And we know that this is a guy who has pitched on this stage before. And I don't mean Kyle Gibson, who made a relief appearance, who's never started a postseason game. And I'm talking about someone who not folk hero status, but certainly has had some big time success pitching in October in the past. And I just, for me, hearing Brandon Hyde say that resonated. And that's, I don't think it was meant as a knock towards his guys or anything like that. It's just,
There's a difference.
there's a difference to this, right? And let's be clear, Nathan Eovaldi, and he didn't have that reputation until what? He went and did it, right? And we've seen pitchers, and we talked a few days ago about Clayton Kershaw being an example of a guy who, my goodness, is a Hall of Fame pitcher, but not just Saturday night, but he's had some other, this past Saturday night where he got shelled and didn't make it out of the first inning, he's had some other appearances in October that were not Kershaw-like. So it's different. It's difficult. It is a magnified environment. And one thing that kind of stood out, Kramer didn't mention this specifically, but asking a lot of different players, what stood out about October when all you've heard going into this series was October's different, playoff baseball is different. And a few different guys did acknowledge the crowd noise and the energy just being what it is. And I think it's tough to look to sit here and be dismissive of the notion that maybe they just weren't quite ready for this stage as a young team, as a team that didn't have October-tested pitchers, as a team that didn't have October-tested hitters. I pointed out to you, Nestor, you look at the Braves, you look at the Astros, you look at the Dodgers, you look at the Nationals 4 years ago, go back to the Cubs. None of those teams got there and won it all their first time through. I mean, that's rare when that happens. And that's not to say it's impossible. That's not to say you just say, well, all shucks, they're just glad to be here. But it does speak to it is a difficult environment. And I think especially for some young guys who they can say all they want. I don't think there were many guys in that clubhouse in Sarasota back in May and March or February and March who were saying we're going to win 101 games. I think you had guys that were confident that they were going to be a winning team, confident that I'll even say we're going to make the playoffs and even say, yeah, we can make some noise in the AL East. We don't have to sit here and assume everyone else is better than us. Did any of those guys really think they'd make the jump from where they were last year, which, if you recall, was a historic jump last year, from 2021 to 22. But these guys, they won 101 games, something that hadn't been done by an Orioles club since 1979. They had a phenomenal season. Even this bitter disappointment does not diminish the fact that they had a really successful season, but now it is a different expectation moving forward. It is going to be a different set of questions moving forward.
Because this
Not,
hurts. Because
yeah,
this
right.
is this isn't good enough. In the same
No.
way that whatever John Harbaugh's done the last 10 years, it's not good enough when you don't win, right? I mean, it's nice to say, we had fun, we sold some tickets, we got a trip to Texas out of it or whatever. But this bitterness this week for everybody should sink in to say, you don't want to feel this way again. You don't want to make the playoffs 5 out of the next 6 years and get bounced and not even play in the ALCS. And part of that is, how do we get better? And how does the pitching get better? Because, I mean, certainly the bats and the experience, and you weren't in the room with Brandon Hyde, but I was on Tuesday night. He talked about, we have the experience now. We have the experience of having done this. And more than that, I don't think he even, because it was, 10 minutes old, the marination of Austin Hayes having to go home and Adley Rutschman going out to the West Coast and watching the World Series on television again, which they've done all their lives. Now they, and if Texas is in it, 10 days from now, they look and say, we were there. Oh, and Eovaldi starting game three, Eovaldi starting game seven, whatever it's going to be for them, they're going to watch that and say, that could have, should have, would have been me. And what they do with that, and you and I are intimately familiar. We were together, Billy Cundiff, the long bus ride home, 52 weeks and a day. Literally a year later, Flacco went up there and got it and made it right. Ray Lewis made it right. Terrell Suggs, all those guys made it right because they didn't like the Billy Cundiff, Lee Evans ending. And for the Orioles of 79, and if Flanny were here, he'd talk about it. And I know Rick Dempsey talked about it on the show 2 weeks ago. 79, and I was a kid, begat 80 in the disappointment, and 81 in the split season, and 82 in Palmer and Sutton, and then finally in 80, I mean, It took years. So the fact that this didn't happen and 101 wins didn't will us to a World Series playing the Braves 2 weeks from now or whoever it would be, the fact that that didn't happen shouldn't be shocking, right? I mean, even as the playoffs began, Vegas hated the Orioles because they didn't have experience. And I think Vegas would say that they didn't have the pitching pedigree, right? It'll keep going back to that, and I don't want to keep harping on it, but they needed better pitching, and we all smart people sort of knew that all year long. And again, I say if they would have seen the Rangers paid pitchers, the guys they paid for, not the guys we saw, the guys we saw beat us badly, really badly. It was a sweep. But having better pitchers or having wherever Grayson Rodriguez is to make that next step the next time he does this, and there's no experience for experience. I mean, this is there's nothing beating what they got this week, but this feeling, this isn't good enough.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't want anyone in that room to be happy in a big picture sense, as far as how far you've come and knowing that you have a lot going for you. And it isn't just the pitching. They have to hit better. I mean, Adley Rutschman hit 0.83. You mentioned 1979, and you took the words right out of my mouth, even though you didn't mention this individual specifically. But think about how we remember Eddie Murray as one of the, a clutch hitter and everything he did. He had an awful 1979 World Series, and 83 hits the two home runs, hits his
By
name
the
on the
way,
scoreboard at the
he
vet.
had the pound on that. I remember his failures being brought up in all those years that the Orioles are never going to win. Because believe me, when they lost to Sutton in '82, it felt like they were never going to win.
I mean, I that that's and that's probably I like that you brought that up, because part of the pain of this still has to be, and I mentioned this, so I'm guilty of this too, but yes, they're young. Yes, they're talented. Yes, they should have a really, regardless of what happens from a financial standpoint, payroll standpoint, free agent signings, trades, all of that, they've got a young core in place here that they should be good to really good, at least for the next few years. That's fair in saying, regardless of whether John Angelos is going to spend any money at all. But that said, you don't know what's going to happen. And you mentioned the Texas Rangers, and look at what that team was supposed to be on paper. If DeGrom doesn't get hurt, do they trade for Scherzer? I mean, who knows? I mean, they might be in a different position that they don't even do something like that. But point is, they had a lot of guys that, they had a lot of things that didn't go right for them in the same way that the Orioles did in certain instances, but the Rangers being a more extreme of that. But you don't know what's going to happen. Maybe the best lesson to take away from this is, hey, it was great to win 101 games, and everyone was talking about not being swept all season, and best Orioles team since 1979, first 100-win team since 1980. Go through all the different factoids that we've mentioned, because I'm a stat nerd, I'm a baseball nerd. You are too, from a historical standpoint. But they lost to a 90-win team. And that's not to say that the Rangers were this over-the-top inferior team to them. You look how what they did offensively and how they could score runs, and they were a really good team as well. But that right there might be, hey, don't be focused on needing to win 102 games next year. Just get in, get back to the stage, and that's going to be the goal for them. And look, the Orioles, are they going to win 101 again next year? Baseball history would tell us probably not. Okay, I'll hear the 1969 Orioles won, what, 109? And in 70, they came back and they weren't quite as good. They only won 108. But typically, you're not going to see something like that. So it might be an Orioles team that maybe doesn't win the division, or maybe they only win 92 or 91 or 90, like the Rangers. But the difference is what you just said. They are now experienced. Now, it's not as much experience as you would have hoped they would have gained this year. You're hoping to see them at least get to an ALCS. I think even if you were grounded with your expectations of what this team was going to do as an inexperienced team in October, you still wanted to see them at least win a postseason game. They have an 8-game postseason losing streak now, going back to the Kansas City ALCS back in 14. But they do have experience, and they do know what this feeling is like now. They know how loud it can be at Camden Yards and also in an opponent's ballpark in an October postseason setting. So these are all things that can drive them, and it will inform them. I think it will inform Brandon Hyde and the coaching staff. The 5-day layoff, not to make an excuse, but was that a factor? I mean, I don't know how it can't be. There's enough data to support that. Even in 2 years now, we saw Atlanta and the Dodgers be eliminated last year, and they were the two best teams in the NL.
You know, dude, with
It's a
all these
factor.
analytics you have and launching, and we're going to measure this, and man, there's no measure of momentum, right? I mean, once it starts, and we've seen it in every sport, right? That feeling when the stadium tilts in a football game, or when it shifts, and certainly for the Orioles, the 5 days off got them stale. It got the bats slower. It didn't allow them to align their pitching perfectly because Means got hurt, right? So I mean, no matter what they were doing, they were always playing from a different level than they wanted to play from. And that really started with Batista. When this failure goes back, we won't say, well, they got swept because Batista got hurt. But that was the beginning of the cracks in who's this Fuji guy? He can't throw a strike. And then when the stadia, both the stadiums got loud, there was just something about the crowd noise. And I'll talk about this, and it's not me doing the Eddie Murray 1979 choke thing or any of that. It's a different game. And I guess for the golfers that go and play in that waste management thing in Phoenix and people are screaming at them when they're playing, it's just if somebody was in here making noise right now trying to distract me while I was doing radio, I wouldn't be used to that. I'm used to quiet. And I think the Orioles have operated at a different sound barrier. And I think the regular season, even when you play in Yankee Stadium on a Saturday night in June, or even when you play in a sold out game somewhere on the road because they're giving a bobblehead away and they have a pitcher that's going, or you play Shohei Ohtani or whatever it would be. Come on, man. You were at the ballpark last week, right? I mean, everybody in our audience, there's nothing to compare April, May, June, July, August, even September to what we saw in Arlington when the game started on Tuesday night.
I mean, it's okay to admit that. It's okay to acknowledge that as a variable. What was and mind you, that's not the only variable. I mean, they didn't pitch. Cedric Mullins was hitless for the series. I mentioned Rutschman hit 083. I mean, go down the list. Mountcastle didn't do much. I mean, Gunnar Henderson hit
Meanwhile, Aaron
five.
Hicks, I mean, you talk about experience. Aaron Hicks said, hey, it's the playoffs. I recognize this. And
He does,
did
but
okay.
go look at his career numbers in the postseason prior to this series. Hadn't done very much. So, I mean, it's part of it is also it's just baseball. I mean, we sit here and talk about a three-game series, a three-game sweep. Now, I can't say this because the Orioles didn't get swept all year. And Cedric Mullins, by the way, a little bit of not, he wasn't making light of it, but he flat out said, yeah, it is a little ironic that we didn't get swept all year. And now this happens on this stage. But it's baseball too. When you have two teams that are capable, this wasn't the Orioles going up against the Oakland Athletics or the Kansas City Royals, teams that lost 100 plus games this year.
Well,
They
that
went
was a
up.
little bit of eye candy back at the end of September. We're beating Boston, beating Washington, beating these teams that just didn't have anything to play for.
Well, but in fairness, they also took two out of three in Houston. They bounced back against the Rays after losing the first two of that four game set. I mean, it's they handled those two environments reasonably well. And let's say, okay, that's not October, but that Rays series in Baltimore in mid-September was as close as they got at home to that. That series down in Houston was as close as they got to what they experienced in Arlington on Tuesday night, because that was a raucous crowd when they played the Astros for that three game set. But yeah, it's not the same thing. But the difference now moving forward is they've experienced that. That Grayson Rodriguez, knowing what kind of kid he's been and the adjustments we already saw him make from April and May, where he ended up getting demoted, to coming back after the All-Star break and looking like one of the better pitchers in the American League. this is going to drive his offseason. You know, this is something that's going to drive him. This is something that's going to drive Dean Kramer. You know, Bradish didn't fare as poorly as those guys, but this will drive Bradish. You know, this will drive Adley Rutschman. You know, this will drive Cedric
Austin
Mullins.
A's.
Oh, Gunnar Henderson. Gunnar had a great series. I mean, he batted 500, you know, statistically. But, you know, all these guys know that they weren't good enough for this three-game sweep. I mean, that's stating the obvious. And, you know, you can use that as motivation. Hyde said it. It's the headline right now at BaltimorePositive.com. You know, it's okay to be hurt over this. It's okay to hurt. You know, it's okay to feel bad about this right now. Don't let it cloud the reality that you have a lot to be, you know, a lot to be proud of this season. But, you know, the end goal is to be the last team standing in October or early November, I should say. So that's a reminder that there's only going to be one team that is happy. And the Rangers, 10 days from now or whatever it might be, maybe they're going to a World Series, or maybe they're going home and maybe they're feeling what the Orioles are feeling at this moment, or what they were feeling Tuesday night. So, you know, they've got to get better. Certainly we'll talk about things that they can do from a roster building standpoint, and Mike Elias and ownership and payroll and trades and prospects who are blocked, you know, guys that we talked about at AAA this year. But so much of their improvement is going to be driven from the guys that they already have, and guys who are now going to be a year older, guys that are going to be more experienced. They're going to be tested in October, even if they failed this initial October test, and they should be better for it the next time around, whether it's next year, year after that, year after that. You know, no guarantees. We understand that as well. But, you know, I think it's just, you know, it's a combination of those factors. You know, never being on this stage, 5-day layoff, and just the weirdness of that. The Batista injury with the house of cards that the bullpen became, and the starting rotation for it as well as they pitched down the stretch. And they deserve that. Go look at them statistically. They were a big reason why the Orioles won this division and won 101 games. But at the same time, yeah, you didn't have a Nathan Eovaldi. You didn't have a Jordan Montgomery. You know, you didn't have on paper what the Rangers were supposed to have with DeGrom, you know, who had Tommy John, of course, and Max Scherzer, who it sounds like there could be a decent chance that he's back for the ALCS, which will be really exciting for that Rangers team. So, you know, it's a process, and they've been a very process oriented team over the last 5 years. Anyone can see that, knowing how awful it felt for the longest time watching this team, but they did great things in 2023. And now the expectations definitely change. How do you recover from this? How do you get back to October? And when you're back in October, how do you break through?
He is Luke Jones. He is Baltimore Luke. I'm Ness. You can find both of us back in Baltimore licking our orange wounds. And we'll be following all things Ravens as they head over to London here this weekend. We'll be at the Hollywood Casino on Sunday in the morning having a jolly old British breakfast. Stop by. Please see us at Hollywood Casino in Perryville. Come on, play the games. Come on up. You can bring the family. It's a family-friendly restaurant. You can also participate in $30 brunch. Some French toast sounds pretty good right about now, and a cup of coffee from Rofo as well. On Friday, we'll be at Drug City celebrating my birthday, as well as the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. We will be upstairs at the Fountain. There's a rumor that Luke Jones may make an appearance on Friday, which would be great. Really weird that we appear in the same room from time to time, but we do. It's all brought to you by Window Nation, 866-90-NATION, as well as our friends at Jiffy Lube MultiCare. I'll be giving away the Ravens scratch-offs on Friday at Drug City and The Fountain as we make our way back. We're going to talk Kyle Gibson. We're going to talk Dean Kramer. We're going to talk the start. We're going to talk about Brandon Hyde. We're certainly going to talk some Ravens heading over to London as well. He's Luke. I'm Nestor. We are still in Dallas making our way back. We are WNST, AM 1570. Towson, Baltimore, and as my shirt says, Baltimore versus everybody. We are Baltimore Positive.